Praise the Lord.
Amen.
It's been a good week. I really do want to thank this church. A few times this mission conference, not only been expressed and said, but it's also been preached. And it really, I don't think it can be said too much. I mean, it's just an amazing thing when we come back, and the way you treat us, the way this church loves us, really is amazing. And I want to thank you all for the effort you've put out this week for coming to the meetings, and even the morning meetings, being able to make some of those, bringing food and feeding us all. I mean, just a whole lot of work went out this week, and I want to thank you all for it. And I think you know, as it's been said, we cannot thank you all enough. We cannot even express the gratitude that we have. What amazes me, not only, you know, how y'all take care of us here, but it is amazing how y'all consistently and faithfully are caring for us, faithfully praying for us, and faithfully supporting us financially. I mean, it really does amaze me how this church supports who it supports. It just really is amazing how faithful y'all are. And I do want to thank y'all for your faith. This church has astounded me with its faith, and it's taught me a whole lot. And I do want to express that appreciation. As it's been said, I want to thank my Lord for y'all. I also thank those that preached this week. I've been spoken to. It's been something I needed, and you know, I learned, and I thank the Lord for speaking to me this week. One thing that I've learned from this church is that we have to do something. That is one thing that I've learned from this church. We cannot just sit around and do nothing. What I've learned from this church, and I've been coming here since I was a baby. I was born, you know, into a family and that belong here, and so I've been here my whole life. I don't really know any other church. I don't. And so what I really don't understand is that not every church is maybe with this mindset. But what I've come out with this church is that I've understood we have to do something. We have to do something. I mean, we're not the best preachers, and we all know that. We're not. It's not like we're amazing at preaching. It's not like we're the richest church. It's not like we're the biggest church. We're not the smartest kind of people here. We're not the oldest church. Yeah. But that doesn't mean we don't have to do something.
Right.
Amen. We may not be the best preachers, but somebody needs to preach. So we need to do something, and that is a great thing that we need to take and grab a hold of and not forget. We need to do something, and we cannot just sit around expecting other people to do it. We can't just sit around waiting for, when we become the great, wise, best preachers there are, then we'll go do something. I mean, really, we're going to be waiting a long time if that's what we're waiting for. And so I've learned, you know, boy, we got to get out there and go do something. And when I think of it that way, the truth is what we want to do is what we're doing is we want to serve the Lord with our youth.
Amen.
Because if we don't say, I'm going to do it right now, then we're saying, well, I'll do it later. And what you see for the most part in people who say, well, I'm going to do it later, is we don't end up ever doing anything.
That's right.
And it reminds me of something in Jeremiah chapter 1. I'm going to be preaching from 2 Chronicles chapter 34, but I do want to just share this from Jeremiah chapter 1. He says, Jeremiah says, Lord God,
Behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. And the Lord said, say not, I am a child. Just this conversation, how it went, the Lord sent him to speak, and he says, Lord, I can't do it. I'm a child. I'm not ready. I'm not a great, wise preacher. I'm not a smart man. I'm a child. I can't do it. And the Lord says, don't say, I can't do it. Don't say I'm a child. It reminds me, it seems like I have this conversation with my daughter every day. She always wants to do something, and she just tries it, and she says, I can't do it. I can't do it. And I have to tell her, don't say I can't do it. Don't stop thinking that way. Stop thinking I can't do it.
Yeah, that's right.
Do it. Just do it. I mean, really, we have to do something. And so if we give all these excuses, well, I can't do it. Well, I'm just a child. Well, not. Then we're never going to get anything done. And he says, don't say I'm not a child. Stop saying I can't. And do it. And it's very easy to sit back and say, well, I'll do it later. That is very easy. We can all get to that point where we say, oh, I'll just do it later. But like I said, most who say that probably won't end up serving the Lord. And I want to share this and preach this, maybe focusing mostly on the young people, but it really is about serving God in your youth. And just to let you all know, you're not getting any younger. You are the youngest you will be. Tomorrow, you're going to be older. I mean, a lot of you are like, that can't happen. I can't get any older. But you can. Tomorrow, you're going to be older. And so right now, you're in your youth. This is the youngest you will be. So what the Lord is expecting is he's saying, when I'm here, what do you want? I'm here. Let's do something. Amen. Let's serve him while we have the chance. And that's the great opportunity we have. We need to act while we can. That's all we have. And that's how we will serve him with our youth, because we're not going to say, let's do it later. It's a great opportunity to start serving the Lord when you're young. And I think that is true. I think that would be the testimony of everybody in this room. The older the generation would also exhort the younger, serve him. Amen. While you're young.
Yeah.
Don't say later. Don't say I can't because I'm a child. Serve him. Give yourself to the Lord while you're young. So I want to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 34. 2 Chronicles chapter 34 really is an amazing story. This king has a great testimony when you read about him. And it's amazing, even just the beginning of it. It says Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. You know, wow. I mean, I don't know if you have an 8-year-old or you know somebody, 8 years old, and imagine putting him as king, as ruler over your people. That just doesn't sound right to me. It sounds like, boy, these guys, that sounds crazy. I mean, how are we going to, there's nothing else we can do. We can't find somebody else. We can't just make an exception. I mean, come on. He's an 8-year-old. We're going to make him ruler. Well, that's how it was. And so he was put into this great position of great responsibility at a very young age. But it says, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. Wow, that is a great testimony. I mean, this guy was pretty neat, right? He was pretty amazing. In 2 Kings 23, it talks about him, and it says, and like unto him was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might. It says that neither after him arose there any like him. Wow. It seems to me when you read about this king, because he was a very young king, and it seems to me like he jumped on the opportunity to give himself to the Lord when he was young. He saw that opportunity to give himself to the Lord when he was young, and he did it. And the end result was that there was no other king like him.
Amen.
He gave himself to the Lord completely. And I think we need to jump at that opportunity to give ourselves to the Lord. Especially when we're young. We can't put this off. We can't wait. There's a few things I think we need to take advantage of, and we should not despise, because we've been given this opportunity to serve the Lord, and we can give ourselves like Josiah gave himself to the Lord. So I want to look at him and just point out a few things that we should take advantage of, a few things that we should not despise, and we should give ourselves to the Lord while we can. We should act now. I think it's worth mentioning here in verse 2 that we should not despise God's view. We should not despise how God sees things, and that is what matters. It says that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. It doesn't say he did that which was right in the sight of man. And I think that is very important, because we get to a point where we can actually start focusing and thinking that what's important is what everybody else thinks and what everybody else sees. And we forget that what's really important is what God sees and how God sees it. That's what's very important. What God sees is what matters. It's what your friends see, that is not what matters. And it seems like a whole lot of young people are just building their lives on what their friends think and how their friends see things, and they're just building their lives, you know, building with the each other, and they're not really looking at things correctly. It's not. It doesn't matter what your friends think. It really matters what God thinks. Your friend's opinion does not matter. Many times in our youth, we are scared of serving the Lord because of the opinions that our friends might have of us. And we don't want to be looked at in a maybe weird kind of way. We don't want to be looked at as, weirdos. And so we kind of step away from wanting to give ourselves wholly, heartily unto the Lord because of fear of looking at that. And we cannot permit that to be what makes our decisions. We need to see that what the Lord says, what the Lord sees, His view is what's important.
Amen.
It's what matters. It's not what man thinks that matters. And a lot of religions make this mistake where they are focusing and trying to get you to look good before men. But it really isn't, that is not the question. That is not what's important. That's what Paul says in Romans when he says, look at Abraham and his life. And sure, we could say he has a lot to boast about amongst men. But before God, he has nothing to boast about. Before God, none of that really means anything. And that's how it is. Who cares if amongst all men, you seem like you're the best and you've done everything well. You've done everything good. But in the sight of the Lord, you haven't. And so in religion, we want to think, and religion makes you think that you're okay, that you're fine, that everything's okay. And yet, you're not okay. You're not fine with God because He sees things differently than man sees them. And we get into a lot of trouble when we forget that it's the Lord's opinion that matters. And this is how, because it says that he didn't decline either to the right hand nor to the left hand. It's because we need to have this focus and remember that it's the Lord's opinion that matters, and He sees us at all times. And when we forget that, we deviate to the right and to the left. We get ourselves in trouble when we're not remembering that we are in the sight of the Lord. And so we don't want to fool ourselves. We don't want to come off as greater than we are. We want to remember that the Lord's view is what matters. At the same time, it's interesting that man can have a really bad opinion about you, and yet God and that can have a good opinion about you. And so it just really all comes down to how you are with God. And sometimes that means you do make mistakes, you do fall, you do deviate, but there has to be a repentance, and there is always room for repentance. And that's one of the things that I think youth can also forget, that there is a time for repentance. Look, it's not like everybody's going to do everything good all the time. But whenever we do fall, we have to learn that we can get back up and we can ask for forgiveness and we can continue to follow the Lord. I mean, it says a just man falleth 7 times, but he gets back up. I mean, why do we have this feeling that, well, we messed up, so I guess we can never serve the Lord? We've messed up, so we can never come back to church. We've messed up, so how can we be accepted again? No, of course you can. You've messed up, come back. Let's ask for forgiveness. Let's repent. Let's get our heart right with God. And we can serve the Lord again. And it's not what you think that really matters. It's not what you think in your opinion. That's not what really matters. It's what's right in the sight of the Lord that really matters. You know, at that age, when you're young, you really think that you know what's really important. And what you think is really important probably really isn't important. And so we need to, at a young age, give our lives to trust that what God thinks is important really is important. And we all need to be reminded of this, because we all get distracted and we all have these setbacks along the way during our lifetime. So we need to not despise the way God views things, and we need to remember that it's what He says that is really important. And we shouldn't despise, another thing, the examples that we've been given. He says here that he walked in the ways of David, his father. This kid, I mean, that's what he was, a kid, right? He wasn't a man yet. He was 8 years old. He, you know, and everything he did, everything he accomplished, which is a great list of accomplishments, happened before he was 40. I mean, that's just amazing what he did in his youth. And this man did not have a good father. His father was an evil man. It says he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. His father was an evil man. His grandfather also says he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Now, his grandfather did repent at the end, but we have a long line of some kings that did bad, some kings that did right, and he had to make a choice. Who am I going to follow? Whose example am I going to take? And you know, we should not despise the good example that God has put in our lives, because they're there so that we can make good decisions. We have somebody that we can say, hey, I can follow this example. It's amazing how kids can have the worst role models. How youth really looks up to the people who should not be looked up to. It's amazing. You just walk around and watch, look at the kids, look at how they're dressing. And you're wondering, why would they dress like that? I have no idea. But you see it. They're picking the worst role models. The way they want to comb their hair, you know, in Mexico right now, that's just so, you know, it's all short here and it's all long here. And everybody's doing that. Everybody. And you're just wondering, why? Who are y'all trying to follow, and why would y'all want to follow them? Youth choose the worst role models. Can't you find somebody that's actually worth following?
Yeah.
I mean, there are men that you could look up to and say, boy, I want to take example from him and do what he does.
Amen.
The truth is that youth have no excuse to follow wrong examples. I mean, I know that a lot of times we want to blame our parents. We want to say, well, it's their fault. I mean, they treated me this way, and they did that, and I had no example, and it was all bad. And you could say and you could give excuses about why you are the way you are. But the truth is, there is no excuse. You have good examples. In fact, even if you didn't have good examples, you can still do what's right. But God has put good examples. I mean, what are we going to do? Are we going to choose to be like the kings of Israel, where their whole descendant, the whole lines of all the kings of the children of Israel, the kingdom of Israel, they were all bad. They were all, none of them good. None of them did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. They all followed that which was evil. And are we just going to be like that? Say, well, my dad, he was a bum. My grandpa, he was useless. And so I guess I'm going to be that way. That's what we're going to do? No. Change up. Do something better. Learn how to correct these things. But the truth is, that's not how most of us are. If you've grown up in this church especially, you have some people you can follow. You have some people you can look up to. If you read the Word, you have some people you can say, hey, look, that's a good example. I'll follow him. You can say, look, Paul says, follow me like I follow Christ. You can say that. There's people to follow, and we shouldn't despise the examples that we've got. We have a great example. And I think in this church we have a great example about missions. I mean, we have a great example of how we can accomplish something for God in the work that God has called us to do. We have a great example of that. And like I said, I grew up in this church, so most of the time I just thought, you know, this is just kind of something normal. I never went to any other churches. I mean, really, I hardly ever... I can't remember ever going to other churches when I grew up. Now, I do have a bad memory, so I don't know if we did, but I just don't remember it. And so I always thought this was just kind of normal. But now I've gotten into contact with a few other churches, and many of them say, you know, they're asking all these questions about how to do things and seeing things, and I'm wondering, well, you know, why is it so much different? And apparently it is. It's very different on how we do missions and the emphasis on missions in this church and all the money. Most of the money goes to missions. I mean, that is a good example we've received. So what are we going to do? Are we going to let this example just fall apart? Just forget about it? No, it's up to the youth to take this example and to say, hey, this is something worthwhile. We're not going to just let it go.
That's right. Amen.
This is something we can do. This is something we've been given. An example God has given us of doing something for His work, and we're going to take it up.
Amen.
We shouldn't despise the examples we've been given. Another thing we see in this man's life is that he didn't despise the Word of God. And we should not despise the Word of the Lord. In 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 19, it's talking about him. And God is speaking to him through prophecy. And he says, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. And this is something we should not despise, is the word of the Lord. I don't know if we realize how great of an advantage we've had by growing up
in a place where they teach us the Word. I mean, if you're young, if you're 6, 7, 8, 12, 16 years old, boy, you don't understand. You have a great advantage because you've been given the Word of God since you were little. It's a big advantage because what the Lord really is seeking is those that are tender when He speaks. Those who have a heart that does not harden when He talks. And this is what we see in many elder people in Mexico. You know, if they're 80 years old, they're Catholic, they've been Catholic their whole life, you preach to them the Word, they are hard against that Word. Their heart is just hard, and you can't break it. You got to keep hitting it. But a child, their heart is still very tender. That's why we should bring our children to church. That's why we should read to them the Word. Because their heart is still tender. They can still receive very easily the Word of God. They are ready to take it. And this is what God is looking for. He's looking for men and women who are tender hearted when He speaks.
Amen.
And the truth is, that's the difference between us and the world. I mean, it's that we hear His voice. Right? His sheep hear His voice. And they follow Him. That's what we do. When He speaks, we have a tender heart and we listen to what He says. And we follow Him. That's the difference between... That's what makes you a Christian. It's that you have a tender heart for the Word of the Lord. And you believe when He speaks.
We need to realize the great blessing that we have of hearing God's Word from a young age.
Now, I don't think there is any doubt about this week that the Word of the Lord has been clear.
Amen.
It is clear. I mean, how much clearer can it get, right? Isn't that what we've heard? He said, go. He said, go. He said, preach to the whole world. He said, preach the gospel to every creature. He wants the Gentiles to hear the plan of salvation. He wants them to hear the gospel. I mean, this is the message. This is the Word of God. He's saying, go. He's saying, do something. It's your responsibility. We can see a need. Let's take it up. Let's do something for the gospel's sake. The Word of God is clear. We just should not harden our hearts when we hear Him speak.
Amen.
And if we're when we're young, when we have a young heart, when we still have youth, and we hear God speak and He's telling us, do something. He's showing us that we need to work, that we need to act. And we say, not right now. Lord, come back another time. Lord, let me enjoy a few years more with my friends, with my plans, with my desires. Let me just come back later. You're hardening your heart against the Word of the Lord. And it's going to be more and more difficult for you to surrender to God in the future. So we know what needs to be done. So let's get out there and do it.
Amen.
I mean, we need to do something. We cannot just sit around. The Lord is speaking to us. He's showing us. He's telling us what needs to be done. So let's not harden our hearts.
Amen.
Let's be of a tender heart to hear the Word of the Lord and to humble ourselves before Him and to go do what needs to be done.
Amen.
Let's not put it off. Lord bless you.